Hey guys, thanks for checking out the Access Point podcast. Whether you stumbled upon us for the first time or you're a longtime listener, we thank you for coming and listening, and we hope you enjoy. This series is going to be hopefully taking, yes, the Christmas story to bring it to a new perspective, which you can't really always do that. You know, it's retelling the story that people have been telling for over 2,000 years. So how do you take a story you heard since you were little, or maybe you know, you were a little bit older hearing it, but you've heard it time in and time out regardless? How do we turn that story into something a little bit more, maybe something that we actually bring into our lives, we apply it to different areas of our lives? Because really what we do when it comes to a lot of the narratives in Scripture, we just take them as the stories they are. Yes, it is a narrative story. Yes, it's a historical event. And those are valid and very important truths about it. But most of the time, that's all we leave it at. We say, well, because it's not, you know, Paul's writings to the church, then it really doesn't pertain to me other than it's the history of our faith. It doesn't really teach me anything new about how I should live my life. And when we look at our world today, really I'm hoping to answer the question of, well, since the world is as it is, and since the Christmas story is always the Christmas story, how can I apply those truths, make it relevant in my life today in this chaotic world that we live in? I mean, we're surrounded by a lot of horrible news, strange times, just strange things that are coming in and out of our lives. You know, we see it on the news. We see it in our family's lives. We see it in our own personal lives. It's just a chaotic world. You know, whether it's busy schedules, which that's on the low end of the spectrum when I talk about chaos. I know some of you say, well, my daily life is chaotic. Yes, most people are nowadays. Just everybody's going back and forth, never hardly home. But beyond that chaos is the chaos of the world around us, where we see all these dangers left and right, and we see people doing things that we couldn't fathom. So how do we take this Christmas story, this Messiah, this Savior, and say, well, how can I turn that into something that's applicable to my chaotic time today, to my chaotic world? Well, Isaiah, he talked about Jesus 800 years prior to Jesus' birth. He was promising to the Israelites that, look, times are tight, times are chaotic, and that's exactly what they were in those days when Isaiah was giving that message. It starts out, which we're going to get into in a little while, he starts out in the previous chapter talking about the gloom, the despair, the pain that his people were having to deal with. And they were asking the same question. Well, we hear about this Messiah, but what is this Messiah going to do for us? What's this Messiah going to mean to me in my chaotic world? How is it going to help me? How is it going to change me? How is it going to rescue us? You know, they were focusing on being rescued out of that chaotic time, out of that pain, out of that sorrow. And so I think we can look at Isaiah's words to them as a beautiful picture of what Jesus, who we now know of as a Savior, but they were just looking to a Messiah in general. They didn't know where he will come in the timeline of history, just knowing that he will come. So Isaiah talks about this coming Messiah to give them hope, but then he also gives us pictures of what that Messiah was going to look like. And he talks about this Messiah, which we now know as Jesus, is going to be a wonderful counselor. And if there's anybody you need in a chaotic time, it is a wonderful counselor. But that title goes even deeper, and we'll get to that in a little while. Because as I said, in Isaiah's days, this is his description of the world around him. It says, it's full of trouble, darkness, gloom, anguish. And they were rejecting God. They were turning away from everything that they stood for as Israelites. The Israelites were finding other gods and going different directions. And they were killing one another. They were fighting with one another. They were cheating on one another. It's just, sounds a lot like America, right? Just a lot of going against what you would expect them to do. Going against even within churches, within the religious organizations, going against what they knew they should be standing for, but yet they've now gone their own direction. You know, we can almost say the same thing about America. We could say full of trouble, darkness, gloom, anguish, people rejecting God. And we see where our lawmakers are trying to pass laws that go against every moral fiber that we stand for as Christians. We see people being, you know, killed for the smallest of things, for, you know, silly things on the street. People are losing their lives. We're killing babies by the hundreds every day. We're doing all these things, and we see terrorism. We see persecution. We see threats of nuclear war. We see all these moral breakdowns in our society, and we see, you know, this is just a small picture, but a whole host of other issues that looks like chaos. That is chaos. It's a chaotic world that we live in because of the sin, the darkness. And as Isaiah was, you know, saying, it relates to us, full of anguish, full of gloom, full of darkness. And yes, unfortunately, that's America. But also beyond that, in our own lives, if we look into the chaos of one's family, and you say, oh, don't come look in my house. My house is chaotic on a school day, on school night, on any day. Well, even beyond the chaos of dealing with kids, dealing with spouses, dealing with friends, dealing with other family, you know, we see the chaos of battling family problems, domestic issues. We see health problems that, you know, well, I want to keep hidden because I don't want anybody to know my business. We see financial problems. Well, we want people to see that I'm doing okay, so that just means a little bit more debt gets me further into financial problems. We see addiction issues, and the list again goes on within the home itself. So it's not just throw the blanket on America. America as a whole is chaotic. But no, our family homes in our churches are chaotic. And so if we ever want to look at Christmas in a different light, we want to be to ask and have answered, what is this great counselor, wonderful counselor that Isaiah is talking about, what does that relate to me? How can I turn that into something for my chaotic life, my chaotic surrounding, my chaotic workplace, my chaotic home life? How can I use any of that for where I am today? Because that's what we want to be able to do, is to apply our Christian lives, our Christian morals, and what Scripture tells us about Christ and our Christian lives in a way that makes our life a little better, a little easier. Doesn't make everything easier. It doesn't get us out of financial debt. It doesn't automatically break those chains of addiction, but it does help us over time to become the person that God is working on us to be. And so despite all of the bad stuff I've listed, there is good news. And Isaiah talks about that, talk about one to come. And we see it with hindsight. Thank the Lord that we saw Jesus Christ come to this world. He stepped down out of light, out of heaven, into this dark world, this chaotic world that it was even then. And he gives hope in the midst of a seemingly hopeless world. I can't speak today, apparently. But he gives hope in a midst of a world full of no hope, full of despair, full of darkness. He came down into that so that Isaiah's people had hope to look forward to. The early days that met the Messiah as a child, and then as a young boy, then as a man, had hope that, look, he's finally here. We finally got to see it, and we are the generation to see it. And now we, generations after, have the hope and security in knowing the stories of Christ, knowing the history of Christ, knowing the authenticity of Christ, and knowing that everything that backs that up just further verifies the faith that we already had in him, the faith that we're relying on in him. And so the big idea, if you will, behind this series is that Jesus is coming into this chaotic world to change things. And today the reality that we want to focus on is the reality is he is that wonderful counselor, as told by Isaiah. As that counselor, he gives us the wisdom to navigate this chaotic world, to gives us the wisdom to change some of our chaos back into order, to change some of our issues back into a more direct focus towards God, or more direct focus towards our job, to our families, whatever it may be, trying to turn that chaos into something for his glory. And so that's why this series, I'm hoping, will help you, because it helps us to see who Jesus is and then how Jesus came to make our world just a little bit less chaotic. Because it's so important if we're ever going to understand the Christmas story, and beyond just the baby in the manger, beyond just he came to die. But then he came to be a part of my life. Well, what does that mean? How can he be a part of my life? How can I utilize that gift? How can I be assured of this wonderful counselor he's promising us? Well, that's one thing that Isaiah wanted to show his people. He's saying, look, there's one to come even in our dangers, because they were facing with an invasion. They were seeing these people from Assyria already on the march, already on the come, already basically at the border, just waiting. They were scared to death. They would come to Isaiah, what do we do? This is a horrible world we live in. You keep talking about great things to come. You keep saying our God is mighty, but there's no protection here. And there, in many cases, wasn't, because they had turned their back on God. But then Isaiah says, look, as tough as times are now, know that God is sending one. God is going to send that Messiah, a wonderful counselor, in order to encourage his people, to lift up his people, to, yes, rescue his people. So Isaiah is given this word of prophecy to show them in their desperate chaos, in their desperate times of life as a whole. He says, look, you need a new direction, new hope, new focus. And that new focus is now on the Messiah to come that is going to bring joy and gladness to Israel. And to the very lands that are being hurt the worst right now, God is going to heal them and use them for his coming son. Let's read that passage. Isaiah 9, 1 through 7. Nevertheless, the gloom of the distressed land will not be like that of the former times when he humbled the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali. But in the future, he will bring honor to the way of the sea, to the land east of the Jordan, to the Galilee of the nations. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. A light has dawned on these living in the land of darkness. You have enlarged the nation, increased its joy. The people have rejoiced before you as they rejoice at harvest time and as they rejoice when dividing spoils. For you have shattered their oppressive yoke and the rod on their shoulders, the staff of their oppressor, just as you did on the day of Midian. For the trampling boot of battle and the bloody garments of war will be burned as fuel for the fire. In other words, he's saying, look, there's tough times, but when these garments, when the things that were used in war, the boots, the outerwear, when it was burned, they were saying, look, we're done fighting because we won. We are victorious. And Isaiah was saying, look, there's going to be a time where we are victorious because of the one to come, because of the Messiah. And if ever a soldier knew that he could, hang up his everyday carry, when he can hang it up because he's won, it's a day of rejoicing. When he can just set down his gear, relax, take down that burden, it is a moment of joy. And that's the picture that he's trying to give to his people here. And the reason being for that joy is this: for a child will be born for us, a son will be given to us, and the government will be on his shoulders. He will be named Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Eternal Father, Prince of Peace. The dominion will be vast, and its prosperity will never end. He will reign on the throne of David and over his kingdom to establish and sustain it with justice and righteousness from now on and forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will accomplish this. So this is Isaiah's motivation, this encouragement. And it wasn't just a motivational speech like, hey, let me see if I can get him riled up. But no, this is what's going to happen. And because you know it's going to happen, you've seen God's words come to pass. You've seen that he always is perfect in his promises. Then you can know that if this is from God, then yes, it is going to happen. He's trying to encourage them, to uplift them, to give them something to hold on to. Because in their chaotic world at the time, they didn't have anything to hold on to. And maybe you in your life, whether you watch the news or whether you just look at the world around you, you say, I don't have much to hold on to. And maybe you're not even looking past your front door. You just look inside your house and say, with this chaos, there's nothing I can hold on to. Even if you've got a little bit of order, you do peek your head out of the door and you say, there's nothing out there to hold on to because everything out there is chaotic. And then you look inside your life and say, I've got a lot of chaos here that I thought I had it under control, but yet there's still so much at war, so much at fight, so much chaos in my life that if I do turn to God, it's for minimal times. If I do think about the Christmas story, it's just about this baby in the manger and mostly about Santa. That's where I bog it down on. I focus on Jesus and then turn Jesus into Santa Claus, and then that's all my family gets because there's so much chaos in this world. And so if we're going to battle this chaos, then we have to understand and be able to answer the question of what does it mean that Jesus is my wonderful counselor? If he is this wonderful counselor, if he's what Isaiah promised for them, for the early days when he was on earth, and now for us, the later churches, what does it mean if Jesus is this wonderful counselor? And I think in order to fully understand this, we have to gain a better understanding of Isaiah's intent, his reason for mentioning these very words. I mean, many of these writers, they were intentional in the actual wordage that they chose. They were intentional with the way they worded things. And that's why theologians have so much fun trying to break down what did Isaiah really mean by this Hebrew context, because he never said it any other times. He could have said this word, but he said it this way, and this is the only unique time that he ever says it like this. You know, this wasn't an example, but that's kind of the feeling we get, you know, when studying the intentionality of these writers. And Isaiah was intentional. And so I think what we have to look at is first, what does he mean by wonderful counselor? Well, wonderful back then isn't like our wonderful today. Wonderful to them was something that says it is incomprehensible. It is beyond your understanding. The Messiah will be so great, so wonderful, so amazing that it's going to be so full of wonder that many of it you won't be to encapsulate. You won't be to understand. It's, you know, not. He wasn't saying, look, I'm not trying to talk dumb down to you, but it's going to be well over your head. It's that kind of image. It goes back to the same word, since we're talking about being intentional in our words, the same Hebrew word that Samson's parents heard from the angel. They were promised that they would have a child they've been praying over. Well, they wanted to celebrate this angel from the Lord. And they asked him, can we at least know your name? Because at first they wanted to bow down and worship. And he says, no, worship God alone. Give him a burnt offering. Don't worship me. And they say, well, at least can we know your name? He says, why do you ask my name? Because it is too wonderful for you. In other words, my name is too incomprehensible. The understanding of who I am is beyond what you on earth can ever fathom. And so Isaiah is saying, if we're talking about a wonderful counselor, I'm talking about a counselor that you can't fully comprehend, a counselor you can't wrap your head around, a counselor that is incomprehensible in our finite definitions, our myriad of Merriam dictionaries, you know, Webster's dictionaries, whatever it is, you know, it can't encapsulate every bit of what this word is trying to say, what Isaiah is trying to lay out for us. Because again, to us today, what wonderful a lot of times is it's a sarcastic phrase. You're like, hey, how do you like this? That's wonderful. You know, that's really kind of our understanding of wonderful, or at least me. I use it more in sarcasm than I do in day-to-day talk. So if you show me something and I say it's wonderful, sorry, don't get mad at me. But it just means it's wonderful. But that's how we see it today. It's not the mighty, haughty word that it was when Isaiah spoke it. So that's one important thing we have to stop at is don't take it in our 21st century mindset of wonderful, of something that's decent, something that, yeah, is lovely, something that is pleasant. That's what wonderful is today. Oh, that's wonderful. You know, or if you use it as me, you're like, wonderful, you know, in a drawn-out kind of way. But neither of those come even close to Isaiah's definition of something that is incomprehensible. And so this title means that Jesus Christ has a form of wisdom that when we apply it to our life, it is like nothing else. It is a supernatural insight because it is incomprehensible. This wonderful counsel that he offers is better than anything we can gain on earth. More understanding, more wisdom, more might than any one word, any multitude of words that we can gather here on earth. And that's what this title means. That's what the wonderful is trying to connotate here for them and then for us years later. But then when it comes to this term counselor, yes, even that, we have turned that into something else today, right? We've kind of just looked at it as, well, counselor is somebody who's willing to sit down, listen to you. They'll write some notes on you. And if you need them to speak, they may speak. But more or less, counselors, they are a sounding board. They allow you to just talk, you know, vent it out, if you will. They let you share life, share struggles, and then they'll throw in, you know, well, here's where I would go from here. Yeah, it wasn't so much of a just a actual advice, but more of a, well, here's what we've seen in the past, here's what you've got going on, and here's a specialist that I think would be best suited for where you need to go from here. But this biblical understanding of counsel, it did involve careful listening, but it was also clear advising. Talked about somebody who was really wise, somebody who knows life, that's lived life, that has knowledge, who understands both the Israelites, who understood Scripture, who understood the law, but also understood the people and understood in a way that could give guidance, could give direction. In fact, King Solomon was one of those, you know, great counselors, if you will, one full of advice, full of wisdom. Many people would come to him as a wise individual saying, well, this is what we've got going. This is our problem. And yes, he would be a sounding board, but then he would elevate that job title to, this is what you need to do. Here's the direction. Here's how I can help. Here's what needs to change. Here's what needs to be dropped. Here's what you need to bring in. And this is what your life could look like. You know, that's what Solomon did, a lot of that, as a wise counselor. And see, Jesus too is a wise counselor. He is able to advise people through, you know, thoroughly, because he is more qualified in ways that any human counselor could ever be, because he is that wonderful counselor. He is beyond just standard, oh yeah, pray to me, listen to me, or let me listen to you. Even though that's how many of us treat Jesus. We just say, well, let me throw all my worries to you, God. Yes, we can cast all our cares, all of our burdens to God. We're supposed to. But when we just leave it at that and just cast and say, it's all on you, I'm not going to do anything on my part, then we're not fully getting the advice in of the whole deal. We're just doing the sounding board in as a counselor. Because of our mindset here on earth, we say, well, if I go to a counselor, I just share my heart and I leave and go on my life, and next time I'll cast a little bit more. So we send our prayers the same way, not wanting that advice back. But the truth is, God's wisdom encapsulates so much more than we can gather in our day-to-day life. You know, as we say, in Christ is hidden the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. That's what Colossians 2:3 tells us. And it just reminds us day in and day out that if we fully want that change, if we fully want advice to move on, to create order in the chaos, then maybe we should stop just doing the sounding board and start actually sitting back and listening to God from time to time. And so Jesus, he positions himself as our wonderful counselor. It means that we can trust him. We can listen to him. We can allow him to guide us in the right directions, allowing Christ to actually live in and through us. And that's what the gift of that Holy Spirit does. It does guide us. It directs us. It keeps us on the right path. And we can be sure that he's listening, because he tells us to pray about our worries, to pray where we're lacking, to ask him things that we need. He tells us to do these things because he is that one counselor who's actually going to listen, who's actually going to follow through, who's actually going to give advice or give direction based on what we've given him. And so as our wonderful counselor, he understands what we're going through. He can advise us while also accompanying us in whatever we're facing. I mean, that's why he came to earth in the first place, that he could actually understand human nature. He could understand what it's like to be a human, understand what his children are going through. So when we pray to him, it's not, yeah, God, I know you've never dealt with this, but this is what I've got going on. No, Jesus says, I came to earth to get a feel for all human emotions, all the temptations that are around you, all the chaos that's around you. I became a part of that without sinning so that I could be your form of sacrifice, so that I could be the Savior who not only died for you and left up to heaven, but then came back to be a part of you because I understand you. But see, what many of us do is we don't take advantage of that presence, if you will. We don't understand what it means to have a wonderful counselor in our chaotic world, because most often that counsel that we've been praying for and asking for, we say, well, I've never got any counsel from God. I never had a prayer answered when I was sending up all my worries. I was using him as a sounding board. And some of you may be even saying, well, if God would speak to me, I would stop using him so much as a sounding board and listen to him a little bit better. But the truth is, those answers come best when we're immersed in Scripture, when we're in community with other believers. If any of these things are absent, then yes, that counsel is also going to be absent. If we're not immersed in God's Word, if we're not spending time with him in prayer, if we're not connecting deeper with the church family, then yes, all the prayers that we've bounced up to heaven saying, all right, now where's your answer? If we just sit idly by and get caught up in the chaos again, we're not going to hear that counsel. It comes through his word. It comes through his people. It comes through a community of believers working together, encouraging one another. But most importantly, it comes through a moment in your life where you intentionally set aside time for God. You know, how can we expect to ever gain anything from our wonderful counselor if, one, we never show up to these times of counseling and say, well, I've got an appointment with my counselor, but I don't want to talk to that dude anymore. It's not going to work. You're going to waste your money. Same with God. It's, well, I just don't spend time with God. I'll get my appointment calendar back on order. Yeah, I know he's a wonderful counselor. I know I've got some issues. I know I've got a lot of chaos. But my world is just too busy right now. Just, I'll get with him later. Or how much do you think you can get out of a counseling session with the entire time? All you're doing is bogged down with everything else throughout the day. Bogged down with what's going to happen, what's going on, and looking at your calendar and your schedule. You're not going to get much in a real life counseling session. How can we expect to do the same thing in a counseling session with God? But see, understand, Jesus has a plan. He has been working it out. He gives us this wisdom. He wants us to follow through with that plan. But again, we've tuned out the voice of that wonderful counselor. We are over-noised, over everything. We have our music blaring. We have, you know, me at work a lot of times. Yes, I have my headphones in. I'm listening to an audio book. I kind of try to tune my guys out when I can, unless there's something going on and you can't do that. You know, then I have my headphones in. I mean, it's the world we live in. We get in this cycle. As soon as we get home, we're checking our computers, which now our computers are on our phones more than anything. So we're constantly connected with email, with calls, with text. And we drowned out the voice of God in all of the things that are around us. We say, oh, I'll talk with my wonderful counselor. I'll talk to God. I'll spend time with him later. But really, we tune that voice out. We tune God out entirely because of our busy, chaotic, crazy world. And a lot of it is the technology we are solely relying on these days. And see, because of the world we live in, it is loud, it's obvious, it's blaring. Well, the signals we get on earth, well, it's easy. They're on every commercial, they're on every ad. When I have a question, you know, I can call this hotline and somebody's going to answer. It's going to be an obvious question. But we do the same with God, and when it doesn't happen, God isn't this wonderful counselor he promised he'd be. Because we're looking for that same loud, obvious, blaring signal. But Scripture tells us, look, you have to be still. Be still and know that I am God. Settle your mind. Settle your heart. Intentionally become still. Intentionally set aside a little bit of time for me. If we are allowing ourselves to actually put down the phone, to put down the remote, to just focus on God, some of that chaos will begin to feel like order. The first time you do it, if it's out of habit, it's going to be chaotic because you're going to be, oh, my phone. You got the phantom vibrate. You just knew somebody just texted you when it really didn't. You start thinking of the TV shows. I don't think I set them to record. I need to go and do that. Or then you say, well, I need to go pack lunch bags. Well, and it's like, just steal your mind for a second. Just even if you got to wake up 5 minutes earlier, steal your mind. And it is hard at first to steal your minds because of the chaotic world we live in. But if that's how God is going to counsel, if that's how God is going to give advice, then how many of us are going to miss out on that still small voice? We see time and time again throughout Old Testament stories of this still small voice that God used. And in our blaring world, in our chaotic world, as loud as it is, how is that still small voice going to cut through all the muck, cut through all the things that are blaring on around us? Through our family chaos, our work chaos, our community chaos, our worldly chaos, how is it going to cut through all of that junk unless we actually say, I need to be intentional, I need to set aside time, I need to be still before God? And so if we want that counsel, if we want that advice in our chaotic world, then we have to learn to rest on Him as the counselor He is. It means we take time for church, for deeper ways to connect within the church. It means we take time to read a scripture. We ask for guidance as we read. Because again, it's easy to get frustrated and say, I don't even know what I'm reading, and give up. We don't say, hey, let me try to find an answer. Believe me, you can Google, what does Isaiah mean when he said that? And you get a bunch of, some of it may not be the right thing, but a lot of it is really good information. So you can't say, I don't know what I'm reading, when because of our chaotic world, you also have access to a lot of wonderful resources through other people's sermons, other people's notes, other people's, you know, dissertations, all these things that you have in the palm of your hand. We can't anymore say, I don't know what I'm reading. If you don't know, Google it. Yeah. If you don't know, text me. And I say, well, let's work on that. That is a good one. And it's a matter of taking aside time instead of just looking for any justification to get out of that stillness. Stillness is scary. It's weird being still before God. Being still any moment of our life, unless I'm sleeping, we're going, we're moving. Our mind is racing to the point where you can't even sleep when you want to sleep, kind of thing, because of the chaos in our world. So how are we going to benefit from this wonderful counselor? If we say we want our life in order, we say we want less chaos, we say we want a stronger relationship, but yet when it comes to actually using that wonderful counselor, we either skip the meetings altogether or we tune him out when he does try to speak to us because we don't understand that still small voice, or we don't understand what it means to walk in Christ. We don't understand how to grow in our faith in Christ. And instead of asking, instead of seeking, we give up and say, well, at least I tried. At least I did a little bit. And as long as he saw I tried to do better, then it's sufficient. But you know what I've always said? There's no try. It's either you did it or you didn't. There's no in between. There's no gray area there. It's either we're doing it or we're not. And so what is our response to this counseling? What do we say? What do we do? For Jesus to be this wonderful counselor, we need to learn to become honest with Him, honest with ourselves as well. We have to learn to listen to what He says by being intentionally still, by setting aside time for Him. But most importantly, we do what He tells us to do. I mean, with any of us, when we get advice, say you go to your doctor and your doctor's like, well, I think you're going to have to change your diet. Like, yeah. You said that the last year, and I didn't change it, and I'm not going to change it for you this time. The doctor's going to say, look, I can't force feed you. I can't make you do what's right. I'll tell you what's right. I advise you, and then I'm going to tell you what's going to happen if you don't. Yeah, my pops, after his open heart surgery, first and second time, the doctor's like, you know, you got to stop smoking. Oh, yeah, oh, yeah. It didn't. Well, you need to change some of your diets. Oh, great idea. Some of it worked good for a little while, right? You know, many of us, you hear from your daughters, you hear from other people, they give advice and they say, well, I think this could be good. You know, doctors have more blunt approach saying, this is what you've got to do or there's going to be health consequences. You could lose your life. Others may not have as strong or severe of a consequence, but the truth still is there. Nobody can force us to do what they're asking us or advising us to do. Jesus Christ also will not force us. He could, but He doesn't. He gives us that free will. He says, look, this is my counsel. And it is, as we've already talked about, wonderful, incomprehensible, more knowledgeable, more wise than anything we have on this earth. And so if ever there's a time to listen and to do, it would be to that kind of counsel. But again, it's so easy to tune it out, to turn the volume up on everything else, and slowly over time realize that God has slipped further and further away from my life. We blame God, say, God, you're never there in my darkest hours. You never gave me advice, never gave me that answer I was looking for. God says, it was there. You were just way too loud. You were just way too chaotic. Your world was way too chaotic. So Jesus in our chaotic world today is saying, I am your wonderful counselor, willing to step down, willing to be a part of your life, willing to give advice, willing to give direction because of my spirit at work in your life, willing to be with you day in and day out, driving you into a better relationship with him, to a better life as a whole, to better relationships on earth, to a better connection to who you really are. Because once you get closer to Christ, you become the husband Christ wants you to be. And when you become the husband Christ called you to be, your relationship with your spouse becomes stronger. Your relationship with your kids becomes stronger. When you work for your boss as God tells you to work as if working at God, then your workplace relationships get a little bit better. There's an ongoing process of growth once we're focusing on God and on that advice and on him saying, I've come down to this chaotic world of yours as your wonderful counselor. So it's on you now. Listen and do. Don't just tune them out. Don't just pass it on. Don't just say maybe next year. But be honest with them, listen to them, and do what it is that his scripture tells us to do. Let's pray. Hey guys, it's AJ Layton, lead pastor at Access Point Church. We're so glad you guys have found us, stumbled upon us, or been long listeners. If you like what you hear, please subscribe to our page, share with your friends. We look forward to seeing you next week.